I got good news and I got bad news, Landfill. What do you prefer?
I always like the bad news first.
Deron Payne added to the injury report, a toe issue has flared up this morning. Questionable. Toe.
Is it turf toe? They just played on turf.
It's a toe issue and it flared up. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you at this time. I'll take no further questions on the toe. But he's getting treatment. He's questionable for Sunday. That's the bad news. The good news, I got two pieces of good news. One, we've located video and audio of Chris Russell's computer error in the middle of a Ron Rivera answer, and we're going to play that. That's one piece of good news. Another piece of good news, before we do that, let's talk to J.D. McKissic. And one of the coolest things going on, I thought, after last week's big win in Atlanta and J.D. McKissic's crazy pylon dive for the touchdown, is that was the number one play on SportsCenter all week.
I was aware of it yesterday. I mean, it's a blessing, right? You get to go back to the team that released you. I was an undrafted free agent. Very grateful for Atlanta, though. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those guys. But it's a revenge game, right? You know, a lot of people won't say it is, but I mean, it is. You got that deep down in your heart. You want to get revenge. To score the game with a touchdown is just, it's a blessing. To be able to do it in front of my family. You know, my family don't really get to travel as much. Being so far, but to do it in front of my nieces, my nephews, my dad, my brother, my mom, my cousins, my godkids, that's a blessing, you know.
A lot was made about Heineke's homecoming and Antonio Gibson homecoming. Where are you from? How many people did you have there? Because you're 2 hours out from Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm really about an hour and a half, okay. Maybe an hour and 15. Phoenix City, Alabama.
Okay.
Phoenix City, Alabama, right next to Columbus, Georgia.
Okay.
I go to Atlanta from time to time, but around that area.
And how many folks did you have there?
23, 24.
You had
25.
To get all the tickets?
I had to get like 13. A lot of my family went ahead and got their tickets, but I hated for the family that I had to get, my people that I had to get the tickets for. It was like we had terrible seats.
I'm glad you got them tickets then.
Right.
What was the play call? And specifically, as Taylor just continues to roll left and push further over, what was going through your mind as you stood there kind of on the right hash?
Well, first off, I didn't have any protection. Nobody came. So I was trying to get out clean. And I think Big Grady was doing a swim move. I kind of cleaned him up by mistake and just stayed alive, man. And, I peeked back at him, and he was still alive. He was scrambling. He was going to the left. I kind of looked at the Deion Jones and the other guys and see where they were. I had like a sneak route going to the right side and kind of, usually I would want to keep running all the way. I was kind of trying to stay in relation with him unless, in case he saw me. And he seen me and
Is there a moment where you can tell he sees you even as he's running the opposite direction?
Absolutely. He kind of peeked over. It's crazy. It's crazy how you could see what's really going on and you kind of take the time out. Oh, snap. He just looked at me. So he looked at me, and I'm like, okay, he's finna throw us. So I'm peeking, and he gets it to me. I have to react to the ball, and, I see Deion is coming. And, I just kind of try to burst as fast as I could to the right side and, and run up the sideline and get the touchdown.
When do you decide I'm going airborne to get this thing in?
Just kind of feeling how close the other guys are getting to me. I'm like, okay, they probably got a chance to push me out around the four, around the five. So I'm like, I did them before. I did it in Memphis. At Arkansas State, and I jumped over a guy, so I knew it was capable. I could do it again, and I always said if I had the opportunity to fly again, I'm gonna dive and I'm gonna try to get a touchdown.
Incredibly impressive play. Two of your catches this season have been at incredibly important times for big gains. Obviously, the catch against Atlanta, but go back to that wheel route you ran against New York. What is it about your game that you're ready to step up in big moments?
It's mentality, man. Just knowing that I'm not going to get the ball 15 times a game. Just always having that, I'm ready mentality. When I get in the game, it's usually, it may be situational. It's not easy to do, to know that, okay, you got to get the first down or the game is over. It's a chance that you got to pick up this block or the game is over, So that's my main thing, man, just being, having that mindset that you got to get this first down, you got to get this touchdown. So when the game get close like that, man, I think about Kobe, Kobe Bryant, a guy who wants that, So that's kind of what I believe, I want the ball, by being with Russell Wilson, a guy who's always, He wants to win regardless. Anything is possible for him, so nothing is impossible.
You brought up blitz pickup there, and watching the game, it's so obvious that, one, you have a real intuitive level of understanding of this offense, where you're supposed to be, but, two, also where blitz liabilities are. Some of that, though, is just a willingness to put your body on the line.
Right.
Have you always been that type of blocker in the pocket, or is that something you've developed?
It's something I developed. Being a receiver, you never really have to block defensive ends when you got to cut them. You never had to block linebackers in the A-gap coming. You never had to block nickels. Usually you got to
cat. Coming downhill,
right,
too.
Coming downhill. When I was a receiver, it was cat, cat, cat if the nickel came, and I let the big guys and the running back handle it. But when I take pride into it, because when I was in Seattle, they didn't really trust me much, blocking. In Detroit, they kind of gave me the opportunity, but things kind of ended around the last couple games. And when I got here, I knew that was going to be my job, so I embraced it. I didn't want to be that same guy that, they just want to put me in for scat protection and run routes. I want to be involved and more. So it's more of a will, man. When a guy's coming to nickel, same size as me, I got to handle that. When it's a bigger guy, I got to be tough, So it was developed over the time, man.
You talk about the mindset.
But I always had the toughness.
What's that?
I always have the toughness, to do it.
So that's kind of, you're leading me exactly where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Watching training camp last year is my first time really watching you closely day after day. And then watching training camp this year, I see it all again, but there's obviously more familiarity between yourself and the defensive players. You're a pretty fiery dude, and you have no fear getting up in Montez Sweat, Chase Young, opposing linebackers. You will say your piece. Has that always been your game, or is that kind of you evolving into a leadership role on the field during practice, during games?
I don't even think about it as a leadership role, man. I just think about it as being fearless, not being a pushover, not letting nobody get the edge on you. And that's never, like I said, little league, I was a linebacker. Eighth grade, I was a linebacker, so I kind of got that mentality, think I am the toughest guy, the biggest guy. It's not little man syndrome. When I get an opportunity to tell Sweat you're wrong, I got to let him know you're wrong. When Chase need to be quiet, you need to be quiet.
It was funny watching it during training camp, man, because it seemed like you guys enjoyed talking to one another.
Right. I think it's – but also, like I said, I don't look at it as from a leadership perspective, but at the same time, if it's a new guy, Chase is a guy that's – well, you want to see if you're going to say something back. So it'll be good for me to react, and show the other guys, we're teammates. When I say something back to him, it pushes him, so the same for everyone else.
2-2. Got a chance to get over 500 this weekend with the Saints coming to town. What are your expectations offensively for kind of your role in this group now with Taylor Heinicke? I mean, this is his job now. Like he's had a few starts. He's gone on the road. There's no more firsts, with Taylor. It's like, all right, this is the first time the rest of the league's getting a look at him. This is the first time he's taking a team on the road. This is now his fourth start. Like this is his spot. How do you feel this offense is evolving?
I think it's evolving. Like I said, I didn't say this, but Coach Rivera, the GM, they built this team as to have great depth, and we knew that if someone goes down, the next guy is the next man up, and we built it to where the second guy is just as good as the first guy. I'm expecting 11 guys every time we touch the field to do their jobs. I don't expect nothing much. But you're doing your job. That's what it's going to take. 11 guys got to be on the same page. I got to get my protection when the O-line makes a call. When Chase, Chase, our center, doesn't get enough respect and love for what he do. He runs this thing, and when he makes great calls and he put me in great situations and the other O-linemen, and he helps Heinicke out, So, I'm just expecting everyone to do their job, man. That's all you got to do. Do your job.
Do you guys pay attention? I mean, coming into this season, there were a lot of lofty expectations on the Washington football team, and it was expected that the defense would kind of be the strongest unit and the offense would try to keep up. And through four games, it's been the offense carrying victories and the defense trying to catch up. Do you guys notice that? Is that something that's discussed at all?
No, man. It's complimentary football, man. When the special team is clicking and the defense isn't clicking, the offense has to click. If the offense not clicking, the defense got to click. So you never know how it's going to be, So, we got each other's back, man.
Obviously, some crazy news here last week and earlier this week with Ryan Vermilion getting placed on administrative leave. Does that create any sort of distraction for you guys and knowing that the feds were here and just everything that occurred?
No, not at all, man. I think the team released a statement today.
And the team has released one, the PA has released one, and it sounds like it's just an investigation unfolding. The last couple for me, Arkansas State Red Wolves, right?
Yes.
Do you get hit up all the time on social media about making it the Washington Red Wolves?
A couple guys, yeah. I hear it a good little bit, man. I wouldn't mind to be the Red Wolves again, but, you know, I'm okay with Washington football team. You know, we all football players.
Exactly. And then, so I'm an initials guy. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with initials because I was the third, right? So my grandfather was Jim, my dad was Jimmy, and they just gave me JP. They couldn't come up with any other ideas. How did you end up with initials?
I honestly don't know, man. My mom always called me Joshua.
What is it? Joshua?
Joshua Dobie.
Dobie?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know how it got here, but I know how it stayed. Once I got to high school and was playing football, The commentators, the guys who are announcing the game, J.D. McKissick, and everyone just started calling me J.D. from there on out.
You like it?
It's cool.
It's working now.
Right.
Congrats on the success this year.
Appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
McKissick is a really impressive dude. I enjoy talking to him. I think he's off to a really good start. I think he is kind of an ideal third down back for this team, and the blitz pickup stuff stands out to me. Plus, his ability to run routes, his ability to get open. He reminds me a lot of Chris Thompson, who was another great guy, really good third down back here that unfortunately got injured a bunch. I enjoyed talking to McKissick. Now, there's also a developing story out of Ashburn. We've told you all about the injury report. De'Ami Brown, Cam Sims, Brandon Scherff are all out this week. Curtis Samuel's questionable. Deron Payne is a new add to the injury report, also questionable. But the developing story out of Ashburn is more focused on Chris Russell, a.k.a. the Rooster. Lanfield, can you tell us everything we know at this point?
We know that Chris Russell was out in Ashburn.
Okay.
We know that he's a kind of a mess of a person.
All right, that might be opinion rather than what we know.
No, we know that.
Okay.
We know that Ron Rivera had a press conference. Chris Russell was in that press conference. Inexplicably, he was allowed to ask a question. And he made it all about himself during the...
Can we hear this situation unfold?
We can hear this situation. Give me a second here. Allow me to play this for you.
Stand through what Coach Payton's trying to do. I mean, what he does is not simple, in my opinion. I think he's a great play caller, great play designer. So there's some complexity to it. You all right? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you disagreed with something I said. Holy cow.
So, Lev, if we can,
but I think let's
set this up and run it back just one more time. Chris Russell asked the head football coach of an NFL organization. There's only 32 of these people on the planet. Asked him a question, at which point the head football coach starts responding to the question. Right? Do I have that right? You ask a question, you get a response. Somewhere during that response, there is a complete flip out where there is a loud bang. Listen to the bang in the background. This might not be the great boom that we had for a few weeks ago. There's a loud bang in the background, at which point Rivera stops his press conference and asks, "Are you all right?" Let's take it one more time.
Stand through what Coach Payton's trying to do. I mean, what he does is not simple, in my opinion. I think he's a great play caller, great play designer. So there's some complexity to it. You all right? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you disagreed with something I said. Holy cow.
I mean, just a tremendous... I don't even know how to describe. I have been in legitimately hundreds of these press conferences, probably thousands. I don't think I've ever interrupted an answer. I've had bad computers. I've had good computers. I've had bad phones, good phones, bad days, good days. I legit don't think I've ever interrupted a presser Now, there have been times where maybe there's a little back and forth with a coach or back and forth with a player, sometimes funny, sometimes acrimonious, but never have I slammed a table and interrupted a press conference. Imagine we're all in a room and this happens. Can you hear that? Can you hear that, Cody? Like, if you were, if, like, you're taking classes, right? All your classes are online. If that happens where somebody just slams a table in the middle of class, what would happen?
It would just stop everything. But I like how Ron just rolled with it. Like, hey, you good over there? I just think that was really funny.
I mean, good for Ron for just kind of handling it.
I turned the volume up slightly to make it easier to hear. Here's Chris Russell interrupting Ron Rivera's time because he doesn't know how to use a computer.
There's some complexity to it. There's some complexity to it. There's some complexity to it. There's some complexity to it.
There you go. That's it.
And Rooster, then Ron says, are you okay? And that's just a quick, yeah, I'm sorry, coach. Like all you are trying to do is get that situation to go away as fast as possible. Yeah, Ron, I'm fine. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, it should be no more than five words. Sorry, coach. Sorry to interrupt. Sorry, I'm fine. Something like that. And instead, there's an explanation about a computer error and a keyboard that doesn't work. All you want to do is get that show back on the road. You just disrupted the show. Get it back on the road.
The thing is, though, I think Ron Rivera, you know, he's had time to become accustomed to dealing with Chris Russell, and he knows that that's just a part of the job. And everybody who works out there has been working out there for years. They just know this is one of the burdens that y'all have to carry.
If I fell asleep like Rip Van Winkle, mm-hmm. and I slept for 100 years, and I woke up and you told me, hey, somebody slammed a computer on the ground and disrupted the coach's press conference in Ashburn,
right.
There might be flying cars.
Mm-hmm.
People might live till they're 175. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'd still guess it was Russell.
That's just Chris Russell.
Diet Mountain Dew that he stole from Chris Kerwin. I think I may have dislodged some equipment in here. What a show. What a show. Coming up next, Bobby Hebert joins the program to break down the New Orleans Saints. That's next on The Fan. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is Football Friday, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. I don't want to delay on this one. I am very excited. We're going to talk to Bobby Hebert, former Saints quarterback and radio show host down in New Orleans. Let's take a close look at them Saints that are coming to town and talk to Bobby on the BetQL guest line. Bobby, what's up, man? Thank you so much for taking time. I know you've got a lot going on with everything that New Orleans has experienced over the last month.
Yeah, with Hurricane Ida, you know, when you're dealing with insurance adjusters and all that. So, but it's all good. It's actually, you know, I have a farmhouse that's been in my family, property, I should say, a couple hundred years down on the coast in Galliano, so about 50 miles south in New Orleans. And that was like ground zero in Galliano, Louisiana, where the storm hit. And we talk about 170-mile-per-hour winds. I made out pretty good, but everyone has damages. Just it's kind of the Bayou version of what Katrina did to New Orleans, did to, you know, the Bayou region a little further south.
Well, I'm glad you're okay at least, and I'm sorry for all the destruction down there. It's got to be hard for you and for folks down there to focus on the football team. Between I know how much LSU means down there as well as the Saints are. Is it a welcome distraction from everything that's happened in Louisiana?
Well, as long as they win. If they don't win, then they bitching. Then they frustrated. I waste three of my hours of precious time right now. But it gives them a great opportunity to escape. But, you know, it makes the community feel good, you know, to hoot at nation.
when the Saints play well. And I think the Saints have a better opportunity than LSU in the time frame that for the 2021 season. But I can't figure out the Saints. Sean Payton, before the Giants game, put yo-yos in the locker room because he said he don't want to coach a yo-yo team. But I think that's what we have. I think when you think they're going to win, they still could win, but not so fast. And then they crushed the Packers. I mean, they dominated the Patriots on the road. So I was surprised because if Drew Brees is the quarterback, that would not have happened. Wouldn't it never happened. If you had 11-point lead, basically with 7 minutes left in the game, the Saints never would have lost that type of game in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to see. New Orleans is coming to Washington after losing really a heartbreaker of a game against the Giants last week. The Giants hadn't won yet, and then to give that one up. How do you feel like Jameis Winston is playing for New Orleans at quarterback?
Well, I still think Sean Payton doesn't trust him. I think you'll have more opportunities as the season goes on. I think a big factor – like security blanket, because if you can recall, it wasn't that long ago, Michael Thomas was the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Now, Drew Brees is throwing him the ball, but I think he's that good. When you need that crucial third down catch, I think he'd come up with it. So I think Sean Payton's kind of feeling out Jameis, but if you look at it in this day and age, there's no way you should only be throwing the ball 23 times a game. And Jameis was 17-23, 226 yards. He had a number of, straight completions. But to close out a game, I don't know if Sean necessarily trusts him because he really went back to the old Jameis in that Carolina game where he just kind of threw it up a couple of times. And against New England, he was getting tackled. He kind of lucked out a Callaway touchdown pass there. So I think there's that trust factor, but I'd be surprised going forward if Jameis is not throwing the ball, at least in the low 30s. That's not good for the Saints if he's throwing 40, 50 times. That means that I'm playing winning football.
Absolutely. I'm curious. I mean, when I look at Jameis Winston's passing numbers through four games, it's crazy that you got an NFL starter averaging .150 a game. That just doesn't happen in 2021.
Well, it's not 1960s.
Right. Exactly. We're talking with Bobby Hebert from WWL down in New Orleans, former Saints and Falcons quarterback here on the B. Mitch and Finley program. Bobby, the strength, it's crazy because the Saints that everybody thinks of in their mind are Brees, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara putting up 40 a game. That's not this team right now, but they still have a really good defense. Do you think this defense can shut down the Washington offense?
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. That's their strength. They shut down Aaron Rodgers. There's not too many people that can do that. Last year, they shut down Tom Brady twice. You remember the primetime game in Tampa. They won like 31-3. The first game, they beat them by 11, double digits. But then they lost in the playoffs. No, they have a very capable defense, but I think they even would be better. After Washington have a bye week, then they go to Seattle. Their best player is not even playing. He's been suspended. Watch out. It's not a household name unless you're a Saints fan or you truly follow football. David Onyemata. David Onyemata is, I'd say, a poor man Aaron Donald because nobody knows of him. And I think, it's another guy. He comes back now. He's healthy. Marcus Davenport is the best pass rusher, even better than Cam Jordan right now. But he's like a Lamborghini, a Ferrari. But you take him out and you test drive and go, man, this is awesome. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it starts sputtering. I don't know. The spark plug's bad. It's always something with him. He's hell when he's well, but, to be held accountable, you got to be available. And Davenport hasn't been available. But on the back end, they got the right leadership. You look at Marcus Williams, and I think he's definitely come into his own because of Malcolm Jenkins. And then you look on the outside now. I don't know, sometimes you lose this focus. I look at Marshawn Lattimore. How can you let Saquon Barkley run right past you? He's trying to cheat, maybe get an interception in the flat. But Daniel Jones is too good for that. He's seen Saquon open, right open. I mean, you're not going to win too many games. If they do this to Washington, they'll lose too. You give up one play drive for 52 yards, one play drive, 54 yards. That's not Saints defense and Dennis Allen football. You know, they're still on top of the NFL, plus five in the turnover margin. And I think that wasn't necessarily the Saints defense of what we saw last week against the Giants.
Certainly, certainly. And maybe there's an opportunity there for the Washington football team. Talking with Bobby Hebert, former New Orleans Saints and Atlanta Falcons QB and a Louisiana native. It's got to be interesting. What is kind of the vibe around? Because you still have Sean Payton and you still have certainly pieces on that defense. How different does everything feel down there without Drew Brees?
Well, they hoping they win, where you took for granted that with Drew Brees, oh, we're going to have a winning team. We're going to have double-digit wins. You know, the last four seasons, no one won more games than the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, that's not an opinion. That's actually what happened. They won the division, the NFC South off the top of my head. I think it's four. It might even be 5 years in a row. They've been division champs. So just that consistency and just that take for granted. You know, you don't really appreciate what you don't have until he's not there, and that being Drew Brees. But right now, I kind of look at the Saints. I don't know. Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. They possibly, I would say, 9-8, 8-9. That's not much difference. But the ball bounces their way. They definitely could be a double-digit winning season. I can see them. Like, actually, when the schedule came out and around the draft, I said, they'll win 10 games even though Drew's not here. But then you had Michael Thomas with his injury. David Onyemata suspension. There's no excuse, you know, you get bad breaks, but you remember even the COVID year, everybody's letting the 49ers off the hook. Why? Because they all had those significant injuries. So it has definitely affected the Saints, but they still have a lot of depth, and they still, I want to say amongst the best, they still have a chance, a great chance, I think, for a wild card. Now, Carolina, the Falcons are the bottom right now.
Yeah.
But look how much Carolina has improved, and then obviously Tampa Bay. So it'll be a dogfight, but I think, I don't know. To me, it started out what it was. Point and a half in the Washington as far as point spread. So that, to me, that's like a pick'em game. I think the Saints are maybe now 2.5 point favorite on the road. I think that's about right. It comes down to whoever gets the ball last, game-winning field goal, that type of thing.
I can see it for sure. Last one for me, Bobby. You expect? Do we still see a lot of Taysom Hill? Is that something we should expect?
Oh, for sure, for sure. Everybody would want to Taysom Hill. He cannot throw a deep ball though.
Right,
unbelievable. He has the arm strength, but you can't touch in a deep ball. You know, people say, "Well, what do you know, Hebert?" I go, "What are you talking about? I threw to Mark Super Duper in college, who set all the records with Dan Marino with the Dolphins. I threw to Anthony Carter. AC, the Michigan Panthers. How you think I got the nickname Cajun Cannon? I can throw a bomb. All you're doing is, it's not great timing. All you do is just throw the ball out there and then let them go run under it. You have to realize that when the defensive backs, they're back there, by the time they turn their hips and they got to flip their hips, they're flat-footed. You got to anticipate like a guy like Deontay Harris running past the defensive back and throw it out there. You got to make him go get it. And for some reason, he doesn't process that, but he can do everything else. He'll run over you. He'll run around you. He can throw a few short passes, but he's kind of doubling his touches compared to with Drew Brees. So as far as offensive snaps, you can see him at tight end. You can see him at H-back, a wide receiver, quarterback. Now, I think he's not maybe rushing the punter as much to get blocked punts and stuff like that or going down on kickoff coverage, but I'm not surprised if he's in on, let's say they have 65 snaps, if he's not in on almost half of them, like 25 to 30.
Wow, got it. Hey, Bobby, thank you so much for the time. Good luck with the cleanup down there, and just know that everybody up here is thinking of you guys.
All right, hail to the Red Tails. Is that maybe the new name? I don't know.
We'll find out, man. We don't know here either, but as long as it's not Belchers, we'll survive.
I love that song. Y'all have the... I always thought the Washington football, y'all got the best fight song in history. You know, the fight for old D.C. Just got to get a mascot that goes with that song. That's the best fight song ever.
I love that song too, man. I hope they can figure something out, but the way things are going, I'm not holding my breath, man. Thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate you, dude.
All right. Take care. Okay,
thank
bye.
You. How about that? Bobby Hebert calls Hail to the Redskins the best fight song ever. I don't think he's wrong. I love that damn song. But that damn song is not sung anymore. That's the day the music died, I guess. When we return, time to settle up some bets. Got to settle up, heard it here first, and we got to get our action in for the weekend parlay. Grant and Danny taking over in just 20 minutes. $147 on Friday. We don't work tomorrow. Landfill, how soon until you have a cocktail in your hand?
I mean, I won't have a cocktail, but I will just have some Wild Turkey 101 rye whiskey.
How long? How many hours? How many minutes?
Whenever I get home, like 3:30.
So 3:30, you're just opening up whiskey.
It's got to start pounding it.
Just start pounding whiskey.
Yeah.
What about you, Cody Betts?
Slow pitch softball starts at 6:30 p.m. I will be in the parking lot at 5 p.m. with an alcoholic beverage in my hand.
You roll up to slow pitch softball, which is generally referred to as beer softball, and you roll up with Truly's, don't you?
White Claws, yes. And a vodka afterwards.
Do these people give you a hard time about this? Just drink some beer.
There's like 20 of us. No, that's what we all do. Everybody's got them.
I guess the young people today stop drinking beer. They all drink flavored seltzer. Nobody smokes pot anymore. Everybody has vape pens.
This take couldn't be any more wrong because everybody on the team is 35 plus.
Tell them to drink beer.
They drink what they want.
Tell them I said to drink beer. It's
they
beer league
don't
softball.
Know who J.P. Finley is.
I'll take the over. Speaking of the over, we got a whole bunch of bets we got to settle up for the weekend before Grant and Danny take over in just a few minutes. Let's hear or heard it here first. Let's run through some traffic here.
J.P. Finley, 0-3 on the week.
Tough week.
Cody Betts, 0-3 on the week. Mullins, the winner, 2-1 on the week.
Yeah, well, Beamish said this week didn't count, right?
No, I said Monday didn't count when I also won my bet because I just pick winners. That's what I do.
I don't lately, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think last week counted. Congrats on winning a fake week, Landfill. That's basically how I understand it.
Aren't they all fake weeks, really?
Is anything real?
Some things are real.
What is? What are?
Like Chris Russell interrupting that press conference with Ron Rivera.
That was real. Also, apparently, we don't get Monday off for Indigenous Peoples Day.
Dagger.
Just thought I asked the boss, and he said, no, we will be here talking about the Washington football team. So if you're wondering what I'm doing on Monday, I will be here in the prison cell studio talking about the Washington football team. Cody, what are you doing? You celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day?
No, I will be right here in the aquarium. It might be a freezer by then because it's so cold in here.
Landfill, are you concerned if the temperature drops any lower in there that Cody will chop you into pieces and leave you in there because he loves dead things in freezers?
Yep, yeah, I'm definitely going to be the next real or fake.
I think it's a legit concern.
There's no question. I will be purchasing a blanket sometime this weekend and bringing it in.
We got the weekend parlay coming up. I'm aware of that, okay? Mm-hmm. You guys never really answered me. Do you believe in Taylor Heinicke this weekend?
Yes.
Yes.
Does Washington win?
No.
Yes, 31-24.
I think they win, dude. I am, again, bizarrely confident. I remain bizarrely confident. 26-23.
If they want to finish the season over 500, this is kind of a must win.
Must.
If they want to finish over 500.
You start projecting out, wins get tough to come by. You gotta win one of at Carolina, at Denver. You gotta win Seattle at home, and you at least gotta go 3-2 in those last six. You need this one. You want to talk playoffs? Playoffs. You want to talk playoffs? You gotta win this game. All right, give me the weekend parlay. Where's the action? How much does Ahmed have on it? $2,000.
$20.
$20. All right. Is the Stallion allowed in?
Nah, we cut him out.
I kind of like Stallions picks, but whatever, that's fine.
He's bad at them.
I don't care enough to, like, change or get involved.
No.
Let me be clear about that.
Ahmet's taking the
only thing
Bills.
I really care about is getting out of here as fast as I can so I can go play golf for the first time in, like, 6 months. And I'd like to get out of here soon enough that I can stop and buy some beer. That's what I care about. Not Trulies. Cody, beer.
Thanks for the invite to go golfing.
We'll do that sometime. All right. Let's get the action.
All right, you're done this time.
Maybe.
All right.
Sassy, classy.
All right, you just read the thing.
I don't know what it is. You have it. I don't have it.
Ahmet's taking the Bills, the money line against the Chiefs. Cody is taking the Packers. I think he called that a lock. They're playing the Bengals in Cincinnati.
So, real quick, through two picks, both these picks are super square action. It doesn't mean they won't hit, but they are the square side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to find some player props earlier in the day, and they just weren't on the board. So
there are so many player props. I'm taking a player prop. It's the Taysom Hill over 16.5
I
rushing
like
yards.
One. I might put that one in IRL.
Yeah. Of course he's gonna have a monster game.
What does B-Mitch have?
B-Mitch has taken the Cowboys minus 7 points against the Giants.
I am guessing that's also square action. Haven't looked at it, but I'll look.
And hey, JPedia, I believe you're taking the New York Jets and the Atlanta Falcons to go over 45.5 points.
I see it at 45, but yes, I am. I think Zach Wilson is finally ready to kind of start putting stuff together. Josh Norris was on the program earlier this week and said that exact thing.
Also, neither of those teams plays defense.
Just so everybody knows, Cowboy, almost 80% of the action is on the Cowboys. If it was me, I'd rather be on the Giants. What do I know? Nothing.
I mean, you'd take the over in a London game. That makes me nervous.
Nervous is good. Nervous means you're alive. If you're not nervous, you're dead. You need, I don't know, I'm making things up. You need emotion in your life. Grant and Danny coming up next. Packed show today. Thank you to all of our guests. Thank you to J.D. McKissick. Thank you to PFT Commenter. Thank you to Aaron Schatz. And thank you to Bobby Hebert. I do feel like we were robbed a little bit of B-Mitch and Bobby Hebert just talking Louisiana geography for like 5 minutes.
Just talking about Boudin and where Lafayette is.
Well, like, I really appreciate Bobby's time.
Yeah.
Whatever town he told us about down right on the coastline, Giuliano, Louisiana, yeah. Rudy Giuliani, Louisiana, I've never heard of. I'm certainly praying for those folks, but I would have loved B-Mitch's,
my cousin.
My college biology professor was from Giuliano,
Louisiana.
Yeah,
he's the principal there.
Right. I would have loved that.
When he said that the bayou got crushed by the hurricane but not New Orleans, I thought that was the same thing. I didn't know that was a different thing.
You learn a lot.
Yeah.
You learned something on this show. I'll tell you that much. Thank everybody for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer. Have a great weekend.